Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
Jesus himself said, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life. Have it more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly. Love him today. Sometimes we get caught in the first part of that scripture, and the first part of that word from Jesus. And we give the enemy more glory for his killing and stealing and treachery than we remember to praise God for the life and abundant life that we have in Christ. Matter of fact, by the time we get to where we are today in Acts chapter 18, you won't hear him talk a lot about it, but Paul is weary. He's tired. He's been attacked again and again. And sometimes it feels like you're a long way from Pentecost, a long way from Acts chapter 2. And we forget that what happened in that upper room is what set them aflame and set them afire and enabled them to go into all the world and to share the gospel. And now Paul is doing that. He wasn't even there, but God touched him with the power of his spirit, and he's just a little broken, and he's a little tired, and we begin to see what God does as he continues to move Paul forward with the sacredness and the help and the hope of this gospel. It may be you, my left to my right, in the middle, that no one really knows that you don't talk about it a lot, but you walked into this place today, and you're just a little tired, you're a little weary. Maybe you're broken by the circumstances of life. I found this to be true, Dana. I have found that even when I am discouraged and a little tired and a little weary, man, nothing bounces me back like a good run in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you this, things are not always perfect, but we can worship him, and as we magnify him and praise him through bad backs and weakened legs and weakened minds, that God is there and he honors our praise. There comes that life, and that life more abundantly again and again and again, no matter how tired and troublesome this old world may be. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 18. God yearns to do an inside change for an outside work. That's what this is all about. He's changing us and maturing us and growing us. And some of our ladies were at a conference this week. Did it bump you up just a little bit? Do you feel a little more encouraged than you did maybe Wednesday, you know? That's what camp meetings are about. I know there are a lot of announcements, and we just work through those, but we're there for God to bless and encourage and lift us up. Acts chapter 18, Paul has been to Athens, and now he is in Corinth. And the word says, then Crispus, he is the Jewish ruler of the Jewish synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. That is really strange considering the circumstances. You'll see that in a moment. And many of the Corinthians, though many mocked and refused to believe, they heard and they believed and they were baptized. Then you skip down a few verses and the word says, then the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue. I thought you said Crispus was the ruler of the synagogue. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. And they beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio, the ruling authority at that moment, took no notice of these things. Then we go to verse 24, and the word said, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, I think he just sort of felt like he had been to a conference all the time. And he spoke and he taught accurately the things of the Lord. Accurately. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus is King. Well, praise the Lord. Man, God, add your anointing to your word today. Strengthen us. Empower us. And remind us that, God, when we are tired and we are weary, we feel depleted, maybe even attacked. Our character has been assassinated in shots that are not worthy to be shot have been aimed in our direction. Maybe it's not us. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone in the body that we know about that's been hurt and bruised. God, would you just encourage them today? In the next few moments, God, I hope they've already been encouraged, but I pray in the next few moments that through your word, you will lift someone up and they will feel differently than the way they came in today, and that you will be glorified as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In Jesus' name. And the body said, amen. Will you turn to someone around you and encourage them today? Just tell them one thing you appreciate about them. Just tell someone today one thing that blesses you. Did this choir and band just knock it out today or what? I mean, they have led us in, and I have felt the presence of a holy God. More often than not, I bump Kelly, or I'll just tap Kelly, and I know it probably gets on her nerves, but I say, listen to those words. Look at those words. That's a confirmation, just another confirmation. And I will tell you this, that some of the words in the very first song this morning became a confirmation to the message today. Jesus said that we must work while it is day, because the night comes, listen, when no man can work. Man has trouble working in the darkness, but God does not seem to have a problem with any darkness. While man may not can work in the darkness, God can work in all seasons of life, in all situations of life. He works in the good, he works in the bad, he works in the daytime hour, and he works in the midnight hour. And now Paul has worked through all kinds of darkness, but God is working in adverse conditions, in an adverse environment. He works in calamity. He works in contention, and he works in controversy. He can bless you in spite, hear me, for someone on the job this week, he can work in your situation despite the environment that you are in. That's why Jesus said, he said, I am a root springing up out of dry ground. In dry ground, nothing should live. Nothing should be able to connect. Nothing should flourish. But he said, I am a root that springs up out of dry ground. That's why you need more than an experience. You need something that you can hold on to. He was God before the thunder clapped. He was God before the lightning flashed. He was God before the angels sang the first hymn. And he was God before you ever said your first amen. God is not an abstract possibility. He is a divine composition. And if we are going to be like him, it will take an inside change of the heart to finish an outside work for the kingdom. Amen. It was Paul who said, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, we'll finish it and bring it to pass until the day of Jesus Christ. So there are times today when you have to hold on to him while someone else is hating on you. Have you ever been there? And Paul has left Athens, and Athens teaches that man is great. But Paul left them understanding that God is great, and that through this one man, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that all men will be judged at the last day, that God will love all men through and forgive all men through Jesus Christ the Lord. 46 miles later, Paul finds himself in the city of Corinth. Do you understand what's happening in that upper room when they are shouting their guts out and praising the Lord and magnifying the Lord and speaking in all kinds of languages and other tongues? They're glory. He is setting them up to go from city to city and individual to individual and family to family that Jesus Christ might be made known. There is a reason for Pentecost. There's a reason for our worship. There's a reason for the wind that blew through here the first few minutes of this service this morning. Amen. God is preparing us for incredible circumstances that bring incredible glory to Him. I've been able to I told you before, I've been blessed to stand on the Mediterranean Sea there in the city of Athens. I've been blessed to board a bus and go across the Isthmus and go across the Corinth Canal and to look out over that canal that joins sea to shining sea. And we made our way into the ruins of Corinth. I've been there. I've got a mental picture of what was taking place and what was transpiring. And Paul finds himself in Corinth, but yet I cannot see it like he saw it, because Corinth is the capital of Greece. Athens is known for its learning, but Corinth is known for its Roman politics. It is a cultural phenomenon of over 200,000 people. Doesn't sound like a lot today, but back then when the world population was a lot less than it is now, it was a big, big city. But it is a spiritual wasteland. It is the third largest city in the Roman Empire, and it is known for four things. The first three will not get your attention. I guarantee you, young people, the fourth one will. Number one, it's known for bronze. There are 275-foot doors at the temple in Jerusalem, and they are made out of Corinthian bronze. Number two, it is known for architecture and pillars and building strategies. Number three, it's known for the Isthmian Games. They are the second largest games in all the world compared to the Olympics. It's a big deal. They gather there every 2 years, and they celebrate the prowess of athleticism. But number four, this city is known more than any other city for its debased immorality. If a person was loose in their morals, someone would say, he's acting like a Corinthian. Today we say it something like this, he's acting like a heathen. But then they would say, he's acting like a Corinthian. They were well known for their debauched, their mentality, their lack of morals. They are known for their harlotry. In Greek plays, the town drunk was always a Corinthian. Mighty city, big city, known for its depravity more than it's known for its ability to connect people to a living God. Aphrodite is worshipped there. She is the goddess of beauty and desire. She is known for the illicit affairs of men and gods. Oriental immorality is on display. It's prominent there. Athena and Poseidon are held in high regard. At the Acropolis, you will find the ruins of the Temple of Aphrodite. Those ruins were known for housing 1,000 priestesses or prostitutes and prostitutes. It was there where, at the crossroads of Corinth, where northern Greece would meet southern Greece. It is where northern Greece was connected to southern Greece. And these temple prostitutes would earn their money, and they would give it into the temple treasury, and that's how the temple was financed, and the city of Corinth and its building projects were financed. It was said of this cultural wonder, not in a good way, not every fellow can afford a trip to Corinth. So this is the place of wisdom. Socrates and Plato both were born and died in Athens. Aristotle was known for the peripatetic school of philosophy in Athens. And Paul is tired. And Paul is weary. Paul has been driven out of all. This is part of life. Remember, they've been to the upper room. They know what it is to be baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. But Paul has been driven out of all three Macedonian cities that he has paid visit to. He probably doesn't expect much better in the city of Corinth. But it is into this environment that Paul says in verse 5, he said, listen, when I was at my worst, God was still at his best. And I was pressed in my spirit that I must still share Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. No matter how tired I am, no matter how downhearted, discouraged, or maybe even depressed from time to time, God is greater in me than the devil is in the power and the presence of this world. And he gives us authority over him to triumph at every turn. I was pressed that I must share Jesus. God give us men and women in American Corinth, in American Athens, this American center of immorality, men and women who will stand and say, I cannot help it. I am pressed in my spirit to testify that Jesus Christ is still the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Would you clap your hands and magnify him like he is today? Paul is sending a message from the depravity of the sanctimonious, the disengaged Jew in the synagogue, that this Jesus is bigger than your Aphrodite. He's bigger than Poseidon. He's wiser than Socrates, and he's smarter than your Aristotle. And verse 6 said this, once again, some opposed him. Some were against him. Some were narrow-minded toward this gospel, and they blasphemed him. And Paul does something that seems to be unusual. He begins to wring his clothes out, and he tells them, listen, I am blessed. And he tells them, he makes this comment. He said, listen, I've about had it with your sanctimonious behavior. He said, I want you to understand that if I have to go to the Gentiles only, that's who I'll go to, but God will open a door. And he said, I am clean. I came to encourage someone today that you can keep holding on to him when everyone else is hating on you. You can never have too much God. You can never have too much of the Holy Spirit, and you can never be in church too many times in your life. We need God. We need his help. We need one another. We need fellowship, and we need to bind together in the power of the Holy Spirit. Aphrodite is an apparition. Poseidon is a made-up monarch. But you can, as the first song said this morning, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You know it. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's changing hand. Am I speaking to anyone in the house today? You know what it is, those times, those seasons you went through when you didn't have anything but his hand, but you held on to it. And God, you lift your hand and praise. God, you're worth it. Hey. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disillusioned. Don't quit. Don't give in to the madness. God is working. Hearts are being turned. Lives will be changed. Lies and deception seem to rule the day, but God said, you tell them I am working, and in the midst of it all, I am present, and I know your every need. Hey, I have not left my church. I have not left my people alone. I am with you. And while they are hating on you, you keep holding on to me, and I'll pull you through all of this. Amen. I sense his presence in this house. Lift your hands one more time. Thank him for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Paul feels like that. He is alone, and he's weary, and he's tired. That's the centrality of the message today. When you're alone, God's doing an inside work. When you feel abandoned and all by yourself, he's still with you. Yes, yes, yes. He's working. Paul meets Aquila and Priscilla. That's funny how their names rhyme. And he meets them, and they are Jews that have been expelled from Rome. And they are living in Corinth. I don't know. Hey, let's leave our homeland and let's go to the most sinful city that we can possibly pick out and live Jesus there. And that's what they do. The historian Suetonius tells us what no other historians tell us. It tells us that they were probably kicked out of Rome because of this doctrine of a fellow named Crestus. The funny thing is, you can't find Crestus anywhere else in history. You won't find that name from anyone. And you just won't see it. And so Suetonius, we are told that the probability is that the real reason they left Rome was because of a man by the name of Crestus. That Jesus has already spread from Pentecost into the Roman Empire. And there are Jews and Gentiles alike that are accepting the Lord and coming to know this Christus, and the Roman Emperor can't handle it, and he disposes them and he casts them out. And so they go to the temple in this city of Corinth, this Jewish synagogue, and while they are there, what we miss sometimes is that you were seated many times by your occupation. So all of the tent makers would be in this section, and all the lawyers in this section, and the doctors back there, and the athletes over here. And so no doubt, because they are tent makers like Paul, what does Paul do? He sits down, no doubt, in the section of the tent makers, and he becomes acquainted with Priscilla and Aquila. You know, I'm weary. I'm tired. I've been cast out of three. I'm telling you today, people can turn their back on you and walk away from you. You may be weary, but God's always got somebody to send your way. He'll join a brother to a brother and a sister to a sister and a pastor that will lay his hand on your shoulder and tell you, hey, I care. I'm with you. I support you. I'm behind you. You don't have to feel alone in this life. God's got you today. Would you lift up your hand and would you thank him for those times when God sent someone just in time? He said, I'm pressed in my spirit. I'm tired and I'm burdened. But Aquila and Priscilla show up and they join together in fellowship. Listen. We want God many times to touch our emotions, but we don't want God to touch our minds. We want God to deal with our emotions and all the run in the world. I'm for it. I celebrate it. I'm Pentecostal. But all the run in the world doesn't mean a thing if there's not something that is down deep in the soul of a man or woman that says he is God in the good times and he is God in the bad times. I can run when I'm weary and I can run when I'm energized. I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I have the favor of a mighty God in my hand. I'll keep going. God will send some. Yeah. You can never water this word down to a feeling. I hear some people today, man, they are preaching, they are screaming, and they're not sharing a bit of scripture. Right. It bothers me. Right. They're not breaking the scripture down. It bothers me. I believe all nine of the gifts, but it concerned me because the word is not the background, the word is not the foundation of what's being said. Watch God work inside the church. Paul wants them to know that God must save your soul. Verse 8, it is very clear in that Crispus, the chief ruler of the Jewish synagogue, believed on the Lord along with many of the Corinthians. Listen, Paul has just said, hey, I'm about finished with you Jews. He said, your blood is not on my hands, it's on your own heads. I mean, he's getting specific. This may not mean much to you, but it's a big deal when church folks start getting convicted about the way they live and about who they choose to follow. This world will never be convicted if we are not convicted. Conviction crushes your heart. We want God in everything but our heart. We want Him in our religion. We want Him in our doctrinal statement. We want Him in our choirs, and we want Him in our music. We want Him on our church sign. But God said, if I am not in your heart, none of this matters at all. We want Him in our synagogue. And boy, have we ever wanted Him in our country, 'tis of thee. In our politics, when He is not our own priority in life. And God said, I will start at the top. I will get inside my church, and I must have your heart. Crispus represents the top of the Jewish church, the Jewish synagogue in Corinth. And the word said that he believes he is the chief ruler. That means it has to start with me. And I love you today. I'm going to tie my shoe so they don't trip on myself. He orders our steps. He is the chief ruler. I love you, and I want to hang with you. And Kelly and I do everything I can to be in fellowship with as many possible. We love to eat. We'll go with you anytime you invite us. And especially if you know, pick up the check. That's getting done. And we'll go. We're trying to get to ball games. We're trying to get to graduations. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. So he says, oh, look what the pastor did. No, we love you. We want to be a part of your lives. But if I can't find time to bury my face in the carpet, if I can't find time to see you, I'm worthless to you. I'm worthless to Summerton. I'm worthless to my family. It has to start with the chief ruler. It has to start at the head. It has to start with our dads. It has to start with our moms. God's working. Paul says, I'm worn out, I'm tired, I'm weary. I'm washing my hands of the Jews. And what does God do? He turns around and saves the chief ruler of the synagogue. And I believe in all this. We've settled for the homeless. You don't love God. All you want to do is come to church. You don't love the homeless. Not true. We love the homeless, we love the disenfranchised, and we'll settle for the harlot on the highway. And that is the heart of God. But I hear the voice of God saying to us this morning, if you will let me have the top spot in your church again, I'll say bank presidents, I'll say doctors, I'll say lawyers, I'll send millionaires, and I'll send merchants, and I'll send missionaries that will grow the kingdom for the Almighty. Paul said in verse 9, the Lord spoke to me. I love this. He's tired, he's weary, and he said, the Lord shows up. And he speaks to me and he says, be not afraid, but keep speaking the truth. Hold not your peace. He said, for I am with you. First song this morning. I am with you, and no man shall hurt you. He is tired, but God said, I'm coming for the heart of the church. And if I can reach Crispus, if I can reach the chief ruler of the Jewish synagogue, if I can get to the heart of the church and the body to act like the body, I'll reach that daughter, I'll save that son, I'll work all things together for your good, and your coming and your going will be blessed of the Lord, for I am faithful and I will not leave you. God said, I won't have any problem with the heart of the prostitute. I won't have any problem with the heart of the president if I can just get back the heart of the church. And some of those Jews don't like it. and they don't like Paul. And the word said they made insurrection with one accord against Paul. They're after him again. I don't know about you. I'm speaking to some people in this house. You've been a living light. You've been a pillar of faith for many, many years. And you know those seasons of joy and those times of great celebration. But am I speaking to anybody in this house? You know what it is too, because you've been faithful. It seems like you've got somebody after you all the time. I don't know many pastors that don't feel that way. And I'm not speaking about any particular individual in this church at all, I promise you. So don't go surmising that. But Paul, they're after him again. And he's about to defend himself, and Gallio stands up and he says to the Jews, "Stop wasting my time. This is not a matter of wrong or lewdness." And he drove them from the judgment hall. I would to God that God would give us voices inside the church that will stand up and say, "This is not wrong. This is not lewd. It's not sin. It's not against God. It's your opinion. You're welcome to it, but it's not bringing glory to God when you share it in a negative way. It's time to lift up your hands. It's time to lift up your heart and let God be Lord of the sanctuary again." Amen. He said, "I won't let the church stop Paul. I won't let the world stop Paul. I'll put a target on your dad. I'll put a target on your boss. I'll put a target on your Christmas, on your people of influence. And if I can have the top spot of your heart and your soul in the next year, I'll save the most influential people in your family. I'll bring them back to God. I'll bring them home if you'll give me the top spot." Again, stay with me. We'll eat. I know you're hungry. God said, I'm doing an inside change for an outside work. I'll do a work inside the church. Conviction is coming at the top. I'll overcome fault finders. Just listen, there are multiple opportunities for you to be involved in something in this church. I appreciate Brandon. He gave the devotion this morning. He's meeting here from 7 to 8 with those that want to pray on Saturday morning. I usually get here a little later, and I'm here most of the day, just about every Saturday and during the week too. But he said, "Listen, if people want to come to pray, I feel like God's put this on my heart. Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday night. Discipleship, women's group, mom's group on Wednesday night." This past week, this parking lot was covered with people that need food in our community. And Pam Ballinger and her team fed them yet one more time. They work long hours and they labor with great difficulty, but they feed our community. There's some, listen, I'm looking at the Grays right now, and they support our cafe every Sunday, but they reach out to kids that no one else is reaching out to, and I'm thankful for that. There's something to do in the kingdom, and there's never lack for something to do in ministry in this body right here if you want to badly enough. We ate with a fusion group last night, 5 o'clock, at Warehouse 319. And we laughed, and we prayed together, and we talked together, and we encouraged one another. There's something to do. There's something to do for the kingdom. Paul is just, God's working this work. And the Jews themselves, and when he's ready to throw in the towel on them. And then the word says something, and I'll close in just a moment, but the word says something unique. He said, then Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. I thought Crispus was the chief ruler. Well, Crispus has believed on Jesus. He can't be the ruler of the synagogue anymore. So they have to replace him. He can't rule over the Jewish synagogue, over the Jewish church anymore. He's saved. He knows Jesus. And the word said that Sosthenes takes his place, and they're already beating up Sosthenes. Do you know why? Because no sooner does he get in the position than God begins to convict his heart Sosthenes accepts Jesus as Lord. I came to remind some dad, some mom, you're fighting and you're wrestling over that son and that daughter, that wayward niece and that wayward nephew, and you're concerned about their eternity. And God said, if you'll give me the top spot and you'll believe on me, I'll do a times two work in your life. I won't just save one, but I'll save two. I'll multiply. I'll save four, and I'll save eight. I'll do a work in this church. I'll fill every seat. I'll fill the balcony if you will give me.
Come on.
Stand with me all over. They beat him because he gave his life to Jesus. Same blood that delivered you will deliver that son. I feel that over and over in my spirit. The same blood that delivered you will deliver that son. The same blood that delivered you will deliver that son. God said, I'll double my work in the church. They're trying their best to get rid of Paul, and he just keeps saving the chief rulers. I mean, the head honcho in the city. They mess with me, I'll save them. I'll save that one, I'll save that one. You need to tell the devils in your life that God will show up again. And he will tear down every resistance that comes against the things that glorify God. Revelation 3 and 8, behold, I have set an open door before you, and no man can shut it. Revelation 3, 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me an inside work, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In an inside change for an outside work. Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. An inside change for an outside work. And then finally, verse 24. I'm looking at some good stories in this house. I know there's some remarkable testimonies. Some may not have, they think, well, I don't have anything. God didn't raise me back to life. I don't have that kind of, but I see Glenda Dodd. And there's a heritage of the saints of the Lord there, all the way back to the very beginning. It seems like there's been a Dodd in the church. There's a legacy. What a testimony. Some of you have been here 50 years or longer. Some of you, you lost track a long time ago. You stopped counting. You just know that you've been faithful and that God's been faithful to you. We have some incredible testimonies and stories, but if we're not careful, sometimes we'll get the story before we get the scripture. And if we don't have the scripture, if we don't live on the Word of God and through the Word of God and the Word of God live in us, then all of our testimonies and all of our stories, they don't mean anything. The Word said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 24 said, a certain Jew named Apollos. An eloquent man. That he shares the scriptures of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing sometimes how you tell God what you're going to do and God turns right around and he says, I'll show you. I mean, in verse 5 and verse 6, Paul said, I'm done with you Jews. And God says, okay. I'll save Crispus. I'll save Sosthenes. And oh, by the way, I'll save Apollo. And I'll put him to work in Ephesus. He's a faithful God. Don't give up. Don't quit. The message today is don't throw in the towel. God is doing an inside change for an outside work. He'll take care of all your opposition. Amen? Would you bow your heads? I'm calling, says the Lord. I have your heart, but I want it all. This day, make me Lord over every situation. And I will give you life and life more abundantly. I have settled it in the heavens, and I have settled it in my word, and I will settle it in your heart. But I am God, and I want it all. I implore you today, I beg of you today, hear the word of the Lord. I'm speaking to someone, you may have been in the church for 25, 50 years, but you're saying, once again, I need to give him the top spot in the depths of my soul. Will you come this morning? Will you not hesitate? Don't wait. Will you just come meet me in this? I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. And most of all, I want you to know God in your obedience today. God said, I'm calling for the top spot in your life again.
Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.